This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I love hearing the sounds of fellowship and conversation as we greet one another in the name and spirit of Christ today. It's my joy to welcome all of you to this time of worship, whether you're joining us over live stream or are here in the sanctuary. I'd like for you to take a moment to register your attendance. So if you are worshiping online, there's a link you can place in your browser. And if you're here in the sanctuary, there are registration pads at the end of each row. And we invite you to sign in. And if you're visiting with us and perhaps looking for a place to call your church home or just want to know a little bit more about who God is calling us to be, we invite you to share an email address or a phone number, mailing address, and allow us to reach out to you and begin that conversation. A few announcements as we gather this morning. Just after this service, outside this door in Reed Hall, we'll have a welcome reception for Will McLean and his wife Kate and their daughters Annie and Emily. This is our official welcome of them. Staff Parish Committee has provided food for us. And as we welcome them into our congregation, it's just a reminder for all of us who are members and have a name tag to wear those name tags on Sunday morning as a way of showing hospitality to new folks and to let them know who we are. So I hope you'll say hello to them during the reception, and then head on downstairs to McWhorter Hall if you are an adult and interested in the adult Sunday school offering downstairs. Dr. Jen Quigley, professor of New Testament at Vanderbilt Divinity School, will be leading us for the next few weeks, and she's a fabulous teacher and a lot to look forward to there. Wanted to let you know, parents of children and youth, that registration is now open for children and youth choirs starting up in the fall. And there's information in the insert in your bulletin on how to go online to sign them up for those. Wonderful ways for our children and youth to grow in worship and faith together. A couple of special words about our worship today. Today, we are celebrating 10 years of ministry of the Sunny Day Club. The Sunny Day Club meets every Monday here at the church, and it provides space for folks who are in the early stages of memory loss and Alzheimer's to come and find community, to sing together, to play together, and allow their caregivers to have a few hours to go and do things that they need to do. And so we celebrate this beautiful ministry and all of the wonderful folks who've come through that today. Our two scripture readers today are going to be volunteers at the Sunny Day Club. They're wearing their shirts, so if you want to know more about how you can volunteer, or if you have a loved one you think could benefit from the ministry, please talk to them or to Reverend Shannon Baxter, and we will tell you more about that. One final word, our opening hymn comes from The Faith We Sing, which is this black songbook. If you're visiting with us and you see TFWS in the bulletin, you think, what in the world is that? That is The Faith We Sing, and it should be in the pew racks in front of you. And we will prepare our hearts now to sing that opening hymn together, to spend this time in worshiping our Lord, who is with us and with all people.
Oh. me in the call to worship found in your bulletin. Before we are formed, God knows us and calls us.
Lord God, we give you thanks.
Let that knowledge fill our hearts and bring us joy. Lord God, we give you thanks. Trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting, let us make our confession with the confidence of children of God. All people are your beloved, O God. Yet sometimes we hide our eyes from the truth. Selective blindness causes us to doubt ourselves and to look down on others. We forget that Jesus Christ came to redeem all, and we have lived with walls around our hearts and our homes. We doubt the work God does to perfect this world and all its inhabitants, and doubt the part each of us plays in creating beloved community. Forgive us, Lord, for our blindness, both out of ignorance and intention. Open our hearts to the beauty of a unique call to make you known. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you. One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Kevin and Jenny Bach bring their child before God and before the community of faith for baptism.
My family in Christ.
Through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We're incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. And all of this is God's gift, offered to us without price. Kevin and Jenny, as you bring your child before us for baptism, I ask you these ancient questions of the faith. On behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, say, I do. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, say, I do. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to all people? If so, say, I do. And will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, He may be guided to accept God's grace for himself, to profess his faith openly, and to lead a Christian life. If so, say, I will. And my friends in the congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, say, we do.
We do.
Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this child now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness that he may grow in service with others. We will pray for him to be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life.
Let us pray.
Eternal God, when nothing else existed but chaos, your spirit swept across dark waters and brought forth glorious light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow, a promise of your everlasting love for all creation. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you heard their cries and you led them to freedom through the seas. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you had promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, who was nurtured in Mary's womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit, and he called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to go forth into all the nations, making disciples. Pour out your Holy Spirit on this gift of water and this young man who will receive it, to wash away his sin and to clothe him in righteousness throughout all his life, that dying and being raised with Christ, he would share in Christ's final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns, one God forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Hi. You got a big smile there. What name have you given your beautiful son? Wells Everett, I baptize you in the name of God the Father who created you, Christ the Son who redeems you, and the Holy Spirit who will live within you as a comforter and advocate all the days of your life. Now, Wells Everett, we're going to walk over here a little closer to Mom and Dad and Big Sister. And Pastor Will, we're all going to place a hand on you. You want to put a hand on his head? There we go. Let us pray. Wells Everett, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a disciple of Jesus Christ all the days of your beautiful life. Amen. Okay, Mr. Wells, want to go for a little walk? I think your church family would love to see this beautiful smile you have. Yeah, you tell them all about it. This is your church family. Let's see. How about if I go this way? There you go. Now you can see them. These are the people who are about to make a really important promise to you. They're going to promise to help you learn about God's love for you, to show you how to love God and serve God and follow Jesus all your life. Some of them may be Sunday school teachers, vacation Bible school leaders, choir leaders, all sorts of ways we're going to surround you with love and help you learn how to follow Jesus. So let's listen as they make their promise to you.
Will the congregation please stand and face Wells Everett? Now it is our joy to welcome our new brother in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Wells Everett to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase his faith, confirm his hope, and perfect him in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, Wells Everett, and we welcome you in Christian love, as members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of United Methodist Church. We renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church, our prayers, our presence, our gifts, and witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Please join me in the prayer for illumination found in your bulletin. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. The lesson from the Old Testament comes from the book of Jeremiah, first chapter, verses 4 through 10. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." Then I said, "Oh, Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I'm only a boy." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I am only a boy,' for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, "Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over the nations and over the kingdoms to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I'd love to have a moment with the children, and if you're here in the sanctuary and want to come join me up here, please do. Feel free to bring a parent or friend if you need to, and if you're worshiping online, just move a little closer to your screens. Come on down. Welcome, welcome. Wasn't Wills Everett just a sweet little baby? He gave a big smile, made me happy. Come on down. I love seeing your smiles too. Welcome, welcome. Well, this summer, when we come to church, we're going to be hearing about people who were called prophets, the prophets of God. And there are a lot of books in the Bible, in the old part of the Bible, about the prophets. And they had some really fun names like Isaiah and Jeremiah, Zephaniah, Malachi, all sorts of interesting names and interesting stories. This morning, Miss Lucy just read a story about Jeremiah. Now, Jeremiah was a little boy when God talked to Jeremiah and said, "Jeremiah, I want you to be my prophet. I want you to talk to my people and help them understand how much I love them, help them know what to do." And you know what Jeremiah said? "I can't do that. I'm too little. I'm just a little boy." And God said, "Don't worry about that. I'll give you the words to say. And you're never too young to work for God." And that made me think about all of you. All of you are pretty young, right? You're not old enough to drive. You're not old enough to go to a movie by yourself. You're not old enough to get a job, right? But you are old enough for God to work through you to bless other people. So you can give someone a hug, or you can say a kind word, or you can share God's love with other people. And you're never too young or too old to do that. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you so much for the story of Jeremiah. Even though he was very, very young, you said to him, "I want to show the world who I am through you, Jeremiah." And so you can use all of us, no matter how young or how old we are. Help us to be always willing to share your love and to not be afraid. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all so much for listening. 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds can go to Children's Church with Pastor Shannon. And Pastor Kay, are you going to Children's Church? I forgot to tell you all. Most of you know Kay Gray, but she worships with us every Sunday and is retired from United Methodist Ministry and was graciously willing to serve as first liturgist and hands on deck for Children's Church. So thank you so much. I have always admired people who don't worry about what other people think, who are willing to speak their minds or willing to take action and do things without worrying about upsetting other people. I admire people like that because I struggle with what other people think, or I worry sometimes about making people mad or getting in the middle of something, of some sort of conflict that I've caused. But I really admire people who seem to have the freedom not to worry about what other people think. My mother was that way. She died 10 years ago in 2013 of Alzheimer's, so it means a lot that today is the 10th anniversary of Sunny Day Club. But when my family and I were sitting around talking about her and I was preparing to speak at her funeral because the family gave me that honor, we started thinking about all her phrases, all the things she used to say, and we started making a list. And as we went down the list, it was like, you know, about half of these are some version of kiss my foot. That was one of them. She would turn and say, kiss my foot. Or scratch them. If they don't listen to you, if they don't, just scratch them. Or my favorite, and I don't know if any of you have ever heard this, tell them to go butt a stump. Has anyone ever heard that before? I think that was a Sally Kavanagh. Oh, okay, we got one. I wondered if that was my mom's original phrase. But she would, as a parent, would often tell us, just don't worry about what other people think. Just be who you are. Just do what you feel like you're called to do. Don't worry about it. And I need more of that. I need to channel my mom more and more these days. When I think of the Old Testament prophets, I think of them as a group of God's spokesmen who did what they needed to do, who spoke the word of the Lord, and didn't worry about what other people thought. Hang the consequences. Just do what you're called to do. And that may have been true for many of them, but I'm not sure it's true for Jeremiah. In the book of Jeremiah and in the book of Lamentations, which is also part of Jeremiah's story, we see a prophet in turmoil. There are times when Jeremiah does not want to speak the word of the Lord to his people. Jeremiah grieves in many ways for his people and all that they're going through. There are moments when he says, I don't know how many times he says it across the course of the book, ah, Lord God, God, please, don't do this. Don't make me do this. And yet he continued to do what God called him to do. And so I want to dig in a little bit to Jeremiah's story and see how, even though he was in turmoil at times, even though at times he might even have been afraid, he still had the courage to keep going and to proclaim the word that God had called him to proclaim. We see him at a moment in the middle of the book where he says, I have tried to shut my mouth. I would really rather not say what God is telling me to say. I would like to hold it in, but I can't, because there is a burning in my bones and I cannot help but speak. And so he does. So how does he get to that point? What is it that gives him that power and that courage to speak out? Let me back up a little bit and share some of the history around Jeremiah's ministry. If you don't mind, a little bit of a history lesson. And if you do mind, well, just imagine what my mother would say, because you're going to get one anyway. The prophet Jeremiah was speaking the word of the Lord at a very tumultuous time in the history of Israel and Judah. In the 700s BCE, the Assyrians had taken over from where the Assyrians were down through Israel and Judah all the way to Egypt. It was their empire, and they were in charge. But in the life when Jeremiah was born, in the early part of his life, the Assyrian empire was weakening and losing its hold. And so there were other powers that were vying for their place. There was Babylon from the north and Egypt from the south. And there were some in Israel and Judah who wanted Israel to assert its independence and to fight for that. And so there were all of these politics and all of these advisors to the kings telling them you should ally yourself with the Egyptians or we should try and go independent. And Jeremiah, through much prayer and discernment with God, heard the word of the Lord that they should let Babylon come and take the land. It was not a popular word. The kings didn't want to hear it. The priests didn't want to hear it. And Jeremiah was trying to say, this is the unfolding of God's purposes, and if you'll hang on, God will redeem this situation. But for the moment, don't ally yourselves with Egypt, and don't try to have an independence movement. And so throughout the course of his ministry, I don't know that there was anyone else who agreed with him. And so he was persecuted, he was shunned, he was placed in the stockades, he was thrown into a cistern and left there to die of hunger. And in the end, he's dragged away to Egypt. Even as he's trying to offer the word of comfort to the people and a word of hope there at the end that God will bring the exiles back into the land, nobody was listening. And so here we have a prophet with the willingness and the courage to speak the word of the Lord, to follow what he understood to be God's purposes in the face of opposition and persecution and unpopularity, without any sign that the people were going to turn around as he was calling them to do. That doesn't sound like a very satisfying life, does it? And yet, again and again, through the course of history, we have seen the prophets of God, the people of God, the faithful of God, often, not always, but often, face opposition and persecution and are shunned by the world, by the leaders who want to maintain the status quo, by those who are threatened by the ways of God, the ways of love, the ways of justice, the ways of mercy. We see it again and again. In just a few weeks, yay, we'll be in the Gospels. We'll get to hear stories about Jesus. And one of the first ones we come to in the Gospel of Luke is Jesus preaching a sermon to his hometown synagogue. He's talking to the people who raised him. He's talking to church folks. And he gets up and reads from the scroll of Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come to save his people." And then he gives two sermon illustrations, neither of which is about someone who's Jewish. Two stories from the Old Testament when the prophets healed someone who was a Gentile outside the walls of the synagogue. And the people in Jesus' hometown did not like it. He comes in there and says, "God is for you, but God is not for just you. It's not about you. God has got bigger things going on." And there were people who didn't want to hear it. And they tried to throw him off a cliff. But he escaped and had more years of ministry to go about. In the book of Acts, we will see the apostles Peter and John. They healed a man on the temple steps in the name of Jesus. And word got out, and so they got thrown in prison and dragged before the high council of the Sanhedrin. And they questioned Peter and John, and they said, "We have done this healing through the power of Jesus. It's not us. It's the power of the risen Christ." And they said, "Well, we'll set you free if you just stop talking about Jesus. Don't say his name anymore." And Peter and John said, "Whether it's better to obey you or God, you be the judge. But we will not stop calling on the name of Jesus." Peter and John, who used to be such fraidy cats, have this courage now and this boldness to face the Sanhedrin that had just put Jesus to death and to defy them because there was a burning in their bones and they could do no other. Okay, I got to talk about the Wesleys. John and Charles Wesley, our Wesleyan heritage. At annual conference this year, we had a wonderful learning session with Dr. Ashley Boggan, who is the head of the General Archives and History of the United Methodist Church. And the whole theme of her presentation was about the vitality of the early Methodist movements, V-I-L-E. And you'll see where that comes from in just a minute. First, she talked about John and Charles' parents, Susanna and Samuel Wesley. Samuel was a priest in the Anglican Church, a very structured church, very clear rules of decorum. And if you were a priest of a parish, you were the only one authorized to preach and teach and do baptisms and communion in that parish. No one else should be doing that in your parish, except if you had a curate, an associate pastor. And so Samuel Wesley had to leave his parish for some reason, for a time, and he put his curate in charge of preaching and doing ministry. Well, apparently the curate wasn't so great. It was a terrible preacher, not a great pastor. And so Susanna Wesley, the wife of Samuel, started inviting people to her home on Sunday evenings to worship and read scripture, and she kind of preached. And it didn't take long for more people to show up at her house than were showing up in church. And so Samuel Wesley wrote her a letter to his wife and said, "This probably isn't a good idea. You're stepping on the toes of my curate. This isn't allowed in the Anglican Church." And she wrote back and said, "If you command me to stop, I will." And he knew his wife, and so he didn't. She was bending the rules. She was stretching the understanding of who's called and who isn't. And some of that wore off on her sons. John Wesley was ordained as an Anglican priest. And again, parish lines, very clear. But he got a letter from his friend George Whitfield, who was in ministry with the coal miners and their families up in the north, who weren't involved in church life, who were being left out of the church, and whose needs, spiritual, physical, economic, were great. And he said, "John, come up here and help me in ministry. Let's preach to these folks." And at first, John Wesley said, "I'm not going to preach outdoors. That breaks decorum. That's vile." That's how the word was used back then. But he went up anyway. And as he saw these coal miners and their families being touched and changed by the gospel, by the love of God that was including them, he wrote in his journal, he was very meticulous, it was 4 o'clock on a particular day, and he said, "At 4 o'clock, I submitted to become more vile." Dr. Boggan gave this presentation at a church in Memphis, and afterwards they made these t-shirts that said, "Vile, it's 4 o'clock somewhere." But she was reminding us that we're not called to be popular. We're not called to fit in. We're not called to uphold the status quo as it is. We are called to bear the word of God, to bear the love of God, to bear the justice of God, to bear the mercy of God into the world. And that is always going to be opposed by some. There are some who have said directly to me, they don't like that we believe God loves everyone unconditionally. "I don't like your banners. Not sure God loves everybody unconditionally." I'm sorry, but I do. And we do. And we're doing everything we can to live that out in every way that we can as individuals and as a congregation. And so, may this prophecy of Jeremiah, may the person of Jeremiah inspire us to be of good courage, to remember that he was afraid, he was in turmoil, but courage doesn't mean being without fear. It means being afraid and shaking in our boots and nevertheless doing what we're called to do and being who we're called to be. May we all go forth to be the prophets of the good news of God's love through Jesus Christ. And may God use us, no matter our age or station, to transform the world. Thanks be to God.
Friends, in response to the good news of God, I invite you to stand as we affirm the substance of our hope by saying together the statement of faith in the United Church of Canada found on page 883 of your hymnal or in your bulletin. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, and life and death and life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. Friends, I invite you to take your seats. I want to share with you the joys and concerns of our church. And as we come to this prayer time, I want to remind you all that you can lift up both your silent and your spoken prayers. And if you would like to share them with your pastoral team that we could be praying with and for you throughout the week, you can follow the link on the Contact Us on our website, or if you're with us today in worship in the sanctuary, there are gray cards in the pew racks just in front of you that you can place in the offering plates as they are passed after our pastoral prayer. I want to celebrate that the rose on our altar is the celebration of Ruby Iris Page, who was born on July 4th, an eventful holiday for Hannah Fletcher Page and Daniel Page, and she is welcomed also by her proud big sister, Penelope Page. Also want to invite you, as we mentioned last week, to continue to be in prayer and in solidarity with Jeff and Erwin Fisher, as the family is mourning the death of Jeff's father, John Thomas Buddy Fisher, Jr., who passed away on June 30th in Columbia, Tennessee. Among his other survivors are West End members Francie Corcoran and Carolyn Eisenman and Mary Irwin Corcoran. So remember to be in prayer with that family in this time of their need. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Gracious God, long ago you spoke through your servant Jeremiah to stir up hope and your people's hearts of a shared future with you. Still today, your Spirit speaks through the prophet, reminding us of your promises and our call to promote and pray for the welfare of the city in which you have planted us in ministry. We pray for the flourishing of Nashville. For people of all faiths, we ask for a shared vision of shalom, a blessed belonging and beloved community. For those who serve in our schools, we pray for rest and renewal of imagination, for the work of education and the formation of virtue and character. For all who love and lead in hospitals and service industries across our city and in the thankless jobs that sustain our common life, we pray for a deep and abiding sense of purpose and dignity in their work. For the artists and creatives who animate our joy, lead them to deeper into your profound simplicity and eternal beauty. For those trusted with the work of public leadership, may they seek your grace and truth, leading with an openness of heart to heed your Spirit's direction and a humble willingness to repent when their judgments cause harm. And for all who are exiled from your promised welfare, socially, economically, mentally, or spiritually, might your Spirit gather them into your unfailing love and lead them into your wondrous friendship, transforming charity, and abundant life. By your grace, might we, your servants at West End, partner with the Spirit in this work as the body of Christ, committed to justice and mercy with and for all. These petitions and those spoken in our hearts, we offer to you as we pray the prayer that Christ is teaching us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now gather our gifts together and offer them in gratitude to God. Those of you who are joining with us online are invited to give via the options listed on the screen, while those of us who are in the sanctuary can place our offerings in the offering baskets. Might we give today with joy and gratitude out of the overflow of God's abundant life that is shared with us.
Friends, we have a song to sing for the world of God's amazing grace. God will be our shield and our portion as we spread that song and that love through the world. So be of good courage and go in faith, for the God of grace, mercy, and love goes with us. Amen.